And so when we look at about external callings, I was thinking about in Scripture, where do you see that? Something occurring externally, and I think of the disciples. These were men who were busy about doing what they were doing. They were tax collectors and fishermen, they were doing stuff, see? Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And the most amazing thing happened. He arose and he followed him.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy continues his introduction to his transition series. Now to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to our Intentional Living Center. I'm excited about this series on transitions because every person listening is going through them. And sometimes they come in a rapid fire way, and sometimes over a period of time, but it's there. And how well you execute transitions in your life will impact the quality of your life, no question about it. In a moment, I'm going to talk about the difference between external and internal transitions, because there are two ways of looking at transitions, and give you some biblical examples. Just before we do, I want to mention again, I'm excited about we're beginning our conference series. Can't believe we're ready to go again. Got a great series starting for couples, and we're going to help you figure out how to intentionally love each other in your marriage, what that really means. And it's going to be a very practical series. And we begin in San Luis Obispo, California. And I'll be there along with my wife and some of the team on March the 24th at Agape Church in San Luis Obispo. And we're going to have a great time. And it's an intimate setting. If you haven't registered, I'd encourage you to do so. Go to theintentionallife.com. Other states, other locations we'll talk about coming up in the days ahead. All right, let's move over to our Intentional Living Teaching Center. And over there, I taught and shared this lesson, and I hope you'll continue to find it helpful as we talk about transitions. And so when we look at about external callings, I was thinking about in Scripture, where do you see that? Something occurring externally, and I think of the disciples. These were men who were busy about doing what they were doing. They were tax collectors and fishermen, and they were doing stuff, see? And then we look in Scripture and we see in the book of Matthew, it says in Matthew 9:9, then as Jesus passed on from there, so he was passing through, he was moving through, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And the most amazing thing happened. He arose and he followed him. You talk about an external, something going on externally that went inside of this guy, that he would stand up and follow Jesus. Obviously, it had to be seen what Jesus had been doing or something. But you talk about something starting out one day, going in this direction, and by the end of the day, you're transitioned into going into another direction. Some transitions are almost like that. And some of you have probably had that in your life, where you just kind of, and then boom, all of a sudden. You know what? It can happen again. It can happen to any one of us today. That this is why it's so critical for us as followers of Christ that we be so spiritually sensitive, that we're aware when testing the spirits, is this something from God or is this something from man? Because we all know people who've had circumstances or situations where they've made decisions and they got on the wrong path, right? Oh, I think this is the right thing to do, and they transition into something that blows up in their face, because they didn't spend the time to really understand and discern, is this coming from God or not? But the reality is, you never know when this could happen in your life or in my life. Not only can transition start externally, but it can also start internally. And you know, if I were to ask you who my favorite character is from the Old Testament, some of you would say,
Nehemiah.
Thank you, Nehemiah. Thank you, class. And for lots of reasons, Nehemiah is a character in the Old Testament that just really illustrates so many wonderful principles about life. But when you look at the life of Nehemiah, And his story, it started with a question. He asked the question, what's going on back at the homeland, see? And as a result of that, he went very deep internally. Because he heard the answer that things were really rough back in Jerusalem. The gates were burned. The walls had been collapsed. And even said that the people were in disarray. Now, somebody else could have heard that and not responded to it. But Nehemiah heard it, and he went very deep. Because you see in Nehemiah 1:4, look at what he says. He says, so it was when I heard these words, he says that I sat down and I wept and I mourned and I fasted for many days before the God of heaven. And as I read that, I was thinking, in your life and in my life, there's moments that I think God wants to speak to us. And sometimes we don't go deep to really understand what he's saying. If you follow this biblically, you see it was about a 4-month period that he did this before he made any decisions. He did nothing for about 4 months. He fasted, he prayed, he mourned, he was really seeking God. And I've told the story and illustrated through Moses. You know, Moses was called by the burning bush, which is kind of an interesting way of calling someone, isn't it? Here's a burning bush. And the scripture says in Exodus that when Moses saw this thing, he turned. And it was only after he turned that God spoke to him. God didn't speak to him before he turned. And it made me think about this, that there's these things that go on in our lives, and we're such a noisy, busy culture in which we live. Do you ever have those moments where you ask a question like Nehemiah, and then really just stop and listen?
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from the Introduction for the Transition series, and he'll pick up right where he left off in just a moment. When you become a new monthly member, we'll send you the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes Dr. Randy's books, Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing, which, by the way, are autographed, the Intentional Living Wristband, and his coaching CDs every month. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4. Thanks. Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be right back.
Have you ever tried to lose weight, quit drinking, save money? You start strong and then it doesn't work. How do you really get a life change to stick?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
Every good plan for change has some system accountability. You can even be accountable to yourself in a journal. Just make sure you commit to write and follow your plan for 30 days. Here's the game changer. Start every journal with an entry for something you're grateful for. It can be, thank you that I got a walk in the sun today, or thank you, I made a healthy breakfast for the family this morning. The higher the gratitude, the greater the optimism, and the more you're going to walk towards some real freedom at finally last. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. With your monthly gift to the ministry, you'll receive not only today's program, but all of them from this multi-part teaching. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Now, let's get back with Dr. Randy as he continues his teaching from the Introduction to the Transition series.
There's these things that go on in our lives, and we're such a noisy, busy culture in which we live. Do you ever have those moments where you ask a question like Nehemiah, and then really just stop and listen? And how that could transition us? I think some of us should be asking the question, what in the world is going on in my family? What's happening in my family? And then really spend 4 months in fasting and prayer and really seeking God to say, what's going on? Lord, what are you teaching me? What's my role in this? What should I be doing? How do I fit into this? Some of us need to see that burning bush and say, God, speak to me. What are you trying to tell me through that burning bush experience? And really listen. In practical terms, some of you and me in our lives, we look back and we say, you know, there was a time that I came to one of those moments and I just blew right through it and I didn't stop. And now I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it now. And instead of stopping and looking back and saying, hey, Lord, there's forgiveness and restoration, I'm going to learn a lesson, I'm going to, you know, be where I want to be, we get stuck. But sometimes these transitions that we're talking about that are certainly life-changing can begin internally. You ever have moments like that? Have you ever had those reflective moments where you sense that something's a little different than what you were thinking about yesterday? Or there's something in your spirit that's just a little different than it was last week. And you know what? If you're not sensitive to that, we get just sucked into the busyness of the day. But we see for Nehemiah, he could have just blown on by this and said, well, that's really too bad. We need to pray for them. God is good. He'll do what he's going to do and get back to his cup-bearing responsibilities in the palace where it's warm and comfortable and all that. But he fasted and prayed, and we know it changed his life. 52 days later, he'd gone back, rebuilt the walls, and never came home. I mean, that was to change the course of his life. So when we think about transition, how did Nehemiah respond to this transition? He responded by fasting and praying, reflecting, and asking God what he had for him, and then acted on that. So that was the way Nehemiah approached the transition in his life. Also, transitions can be very life-changing. I think of a young man, I think I've shared his story before, many years ago, that we got a call from a nurse who said, we got a young man here in our rehab hospital, his name is Ty, and he's about 25, 26 years old, young man here in town, and he was riding his motorcycle, motor scooter actually, down to the University of Arizona as a student, and he got hit. And as a result of the accident, it broke his neck at the C1, which is 95% chance you're not going to survive. But he did. But he was unable to move anything except his eyes and his lips. And when he spoke, it was just with breath and breathing. But he listened to Family Life Radio. He listened to us on the radio. And a nurse over there called us here one day and said, you know, this young man is here, and he listens to you all. You think you could come over and see him? And we went over to see him, thinking we were going to do him a favor. Hello? You with me? And he did us a favor. See? But here's all of a sudden this young man who's going down the road in one direction, and all of a sudden he's gone into an instant transition that moved him to a life-changing experience. And I've shared before, but when we got done with our meeting, talking to him and so on, and he couldn't speak very loudly, and when he did, it was very quiet. I mean, he was just, could just whisper. And it was elongated whenever he spoke. So he learned to be able to blow into a tube and type out the letters on a screen. But he wanted to say something to us before we left. And the nurse could tell, saying, he wants to say something to you. And I got very close to him so I could hear him, probably a foot from his mouth. And this is what he said to me. He said, tell them about Jesus. That's all he said. Tell them about Jesus. And I thought to myself, wow, went there to do him a favor. He did me a favor. He's in heaven today. Yes, he is. And what a lasting legacy he left. I know he made an impact in the nurses and doctors and everybody who knew him. And he gave us the best message, the most intentional message: tell them about Jesus. You know, intentional living is about going through life and transitions, facing the difficulties, the disciplines, the challenges, and living intentionally and really enjoying it, finding all that God has for you. And I just, again, thank those of you who stand with us. We got so many wonderful members, and I get a chance to meet you as I travel and have conferences. Thank you for standing with us every month and support. And new members who are coming online, thank you. Sharon recently joined us from Albuquerque. Thank you. Heather also from Albuquerque. Thank you. And here's Stuart from Harrison, Michigan. Thank you. We appreciate it. You know, when you step up and say, I'll support the Ministry of Intentional Living every month with whatever God lays on your heart, you allow us to do this. Your $30 or $40 a month is so appreciated. And we're going to send you my teaching on CD every month and a starter kit with two of my books, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection, both autographed. All you have to do is go to the website, hit donate, and sign up today. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4. You know, at the end of this series, I asked the visitors and staff that came to our teaching studio to share one transition that they've been through and what they learned. Take a listen.
I think for me, kids was the biggest humbling experience. It's not all about me. What? I have to sacrifice every moment of the day. So that was a big transition for us as we went for 8 years without any kids. And so transitioning in our marriage to going from no kids to all of a sudden having kids and the dynamic change within the marriage and personally, positive things, but also stretching things. Mm-hmm.
When I was in my early 20s, I was employed by this company and ended up working for them for 19 years and 9 months. And one day, I got called into the office, and they had been downsizing, and I knew that I was next. I was manager, and it was time. So, you know, one day, you're in a secure job, and you are happy with climbing the ladder and, you know, within a company for so long, and then next day you're unemployed and start going to school again and things like that. So there were some changes that needed to be made. Mm-hmm. And you just learn not to be comfortable in your own lifestyle at one point in time because, yes, like you said, snap of a finger, things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Some good transitions.
I'm going through a transition right now with my father. He's in final stages of cancer and kind of entering that period of his life where the interaction is no longer there. And my father was my mentor and my go-to person.
Yeah.
So I'm experiencing now, you know, where do you lean? And fortunately, I'm surrounded by a beautiful company of God-loving people, a lot of prayer, a lot of support. And it's teaching you to rely on God more.
That's good. Thank you, Carla.
There was a big transition for me when I became a Christian. I had been raised Catholic, went to Catholic school all the way up to graduating high school, and that was my life. And moving here to Tucson, I mean, the Lord, it just, what I learned was the Lord had so many things planned in my life. Looking back, I could see his hand. And it was a transition not just for me, but for my children as well. Mm-hmm. Because I was raising them as Catholic, too, at the time. And especially for my son, because he was really upset that he didn't make his first communion like his big sister did. So that was kind of a rough thing. So we had a special little ceremony for him. But, you know, sometimes transitions don't just affect you. They affect the people around you, too.
Well, example of that is Job. Have you ever asked the question, what about Job's kids? We see what God's doing with Job, but God also did something with Job's kids. And sometimes these transitions, you're caught up in something that's bigger that's going on that, in a spiritual sense, that God's doing that we can't comprehend, humanly speaking, or or even think it's fair. Is that fair? Job's children are taken, but it's not a fairness. It's God's will, and God's doing something, and so sometimes things happen, and we don't understand it. Others, transition.
I think for us, it was when we lost our daughter, Zuri. I think it was an instantaneous, like when it was like the veil was pulled away, this illusion of control. I think I had this kind of sense that I had control before that. And it was like instantaneously that feeling was gone. And so that transition was suddenly, okay, before that I was living under this illusion of control in my marriage with my life. And then that was gone. So then I had to kind of relearn, what does it mean to live in a world where I don't have any control? And I think I could have gone into a dark place, but I think God stepped in and people stepped in to help keep me from going there. Realizing that lack of control isn't always necessarily a bad thing. That there is a great deal of comfort in knowing that there's nothing that we can do, that it's in God's hands. And so I think just that transition for me, very painful, like you talked about, an incredibly painful process, but it was a instantaneous moment.
Yeah. Thank you, Derek. Yeah, Matt.
I'll share the story of how we left Florida and came here. Just the first part of that. Angela and I got married in 1994. In 1995, we went on a little vacation on our first anniversary and began praying about God changing my job. I was working at the Home Shopping Network. I was on pager 24 hours a day, could be woken up at any time to cover problems that were going on at work, people calling off sick. It just wasn't good for starting a family to just be constantly interrupted like that. So we began praying about God changing my job. So it was 95. In February of 96, I got laid off from Home Shopping Network with 200 other people. And that same day, that week, there were many other layoffs. They were going through a massive restructuring. Home Shopping was sold many times over its history. And I met with the VP of Human Resources, had a very nice meeting with her. I think they generally expect people to lash out and be angry and everything. I didn't do that. At the end of the meeting, she said, I'm not going to give you your severance package. Just hold on. Come back in a week and go see the front office. I'm going to rework your severance package.
Oh.
So I went back a week later, and they said, we don't know where your severance package is because she got laid off a day or two after you did. So a friend of mine that was working in HR that I'd worked with for many years, because we had a lot of turnover in that department, she said, I'll go figure out what's going on and get it together for you. So I went back a little bit later, picked it up, went home, opened it up, and there was a check in there. And I looked at this check, and I showed it to Angela, and I said, look how much money this is. And I don't know what happened. They essentially paid me for the rest of the year. And this was in February.
Wow.
Angela was pregnant with Harrison, and I was home during that entire time when we went to the hospital and had him. And I looked for other work and everything, nothing materialized until later on that year when Rick Livengood, who was my old roommate in college, he used to work for Family Life Radio and told me about the position out here, and we ended up out here.
Wow.
It was crazy, and God provided in a miraculous way. And just about the time the money ran out, we moved to Tucson.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. I didn't know that part of the story. Boy, we got amazing stories here. She read a book. The Amazing Stories of Family Life and Staff. It's good. Well, transitions, it's important. I mean, you prepare for them, but you can't always plan on them. But this, as Christians, boy, if you're not a follower of Christ, I don't know where your foundation is. You got to You got to play mental games to get through this stuff. But as Christians, we have the hope in Christ, and that's the key.
Hello, Randy. This is Albrecht Meyer calling Rochester, Michigan, telling you how I am being intentional. For the last 3 years, I've been dealing with cancer, battling cancer, receiving chemo since February 2010, ongoing. But by the grace of God, I have learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I'm very intentional in my listening to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit directs me to speak to people, to share with people about my walk of faith, to share with people what God is doing in my life, to encourage people. When I'm at the cancer treatment center, it's unbelievable how many opportunities I have to share scripture with people, to pray with people. I don't dare go to the infusion center without my Bible with me, because invariably the Lord will send me to somebody that needs to hear that God loves them. And it's just amazing the opportunities that I have had sharing with people that God loves them, even though they're going through what they're going through.
Wow. Very humbling. You know, I've been doing a study in the Hebrews talking about discipline, how we are disciplined. And discipline is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not a punishment necessarily. It's God's love for us. And sometimes the disciplines of life that are really training grounds for us to grow are the cancer diagnosis and other things that we either become rebellious and angry and fitful from it, or we really submit and allow God to work in our lives. And you did, and thank you for sharing that with us. We're talking transitions today. Tomorrow I'm going to open the phone lines because I'd like to hear you. Not me, but you. I'd like to hear from you all across the country telling us what transitions you're in, what you're learning, how you're going through them. Love to hear from you, okay? Also a reminder that our conference series will be beginning here in a few weeks for couples, and we want to help you learn to intentionally love in marriage. It's going to be a great conference, and we start in San Luis Obispo on March the 24th at Agape Church. Intimate setting, great evening. If you haven't registered, encourage you to do so. And then I'll be speaking at the Hope Not Shame Conference in Phoenix at the Calvary Community Church coming up on the 18th of this month. So anyway, check it all out online. And if you'd like to come and join us on this vision with us, part of this mission, this ministry, go today to theintentionallife.com. Your monthly support makes a difference. We'll see you tomorrow from Intentional Living.